Hello, everyone. This is Sam, and this is a special edition of the Bat Boys podcast. We have our very good friend and insightful Valencia correspondent, Sarah Brony, here with us today. Sarah Brony, how are you?
I'm great. It's been a while. Very, very happy to be here. Yeah, great to be here.
We'd like to bring you on when things are really heating up, Sarah Brony. And and I really, that's any time with Valencia. There's so much to unpack. We wanted to have you kind of pre-season, but you know, actually now that there's been a couple of games, I think this is a really good time to have you, especially with all the developments of the last 24 hours. So I think we should start with that, Sarah Brony. I've been following some of your Twitter, some of your tweets about this Carlos Soler sale. What do you think about this move? And what do you think about some of the folks that have been rumored to replace him? Whether, and the names I've been hearing are Arthur Mello. I also heard recently James. What is your thoughts both on the sale and the type of player that we should be trying to bring in?
Well, I think that a lot of us expected this to happen. In fact, I saw a bunch of people saying 2-3 weeks ago that Carlos Soler was still going to leave in this window and that it would probably be on deadline day or a day before deadline day. That it was something that was sure to happen with Mendes hovering around the club and of course with the way Peter Lim operates. And so it didn't really come as a surprise to me that just overnight we saw rumors of interest from PSG and all of a sudden the deal was to be completed. I think that from Valencia perspective, perhaps we could have gotten a bit more money for him. I think that in this market, with the amounts that players are going for, we could maybe have held out for 30 million. But at the same time, I think that that may have been a bit unrealistic because PSG aren't signing him as an essential player. He's a depth signing by all indications because they signed a bunch of midfielders this season. And so if a depth signing started to look too expensive, they would move on. And it also looked like there was a lack of interest in him generally because, I mean, we've been open to selling him for about 2 months now and nobody has really come with a concrete bid. So it was either sell now or, you know, wait for him for a year and then he goes for free because he was never going to sign a new contract. We have to be realistic with ourselves. So I think for the price, it's okay. It's a bit underwhelming that we'll be selling him for 20 million. But at the same time, I think that's the best we get in the circumstances. Now, for us, I think, I mean, contrary to what many people seem to believe, I think that it actually benefits us selling him. Not just about the money now, but also because of what's going on with the team and the dynamic under Gattuso. Soler seems to have gone missing, and not just this season. Of course, I could excuse it last season because we had Bordalas in charge and not a single midfielder was playing well with that system. The system basically bypassed the midfielders. So that was kind of...
Maybe Guillemot being the exception. I thought he still...
Yeah, Guillemot.
He still looked very good last year. But
I agree.
But I think you're right. You know, last year, you know, I always thought when Soler's touching the ball, he's having an effect on the game, but he just wasn't touching the ball enough. And, you know, Tim thought a lot of this was the fact that he was putting in such a defensive, you know, basically Bordalas had him be sprinting from our 18 to their 18, doing these defensive duties, but he just never could get really much of an impact. And, you know, we're of course used to Parejo, right? Who's touching the ball every 2 minutes. And then this year, obviously we have a more possession oriented coach than we've had in a really long time. I can't remember the last as possession oriented coach we've had. and he's still just not touching the ball enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. I kind of feel like he didn't progress enough as a footballer over the past 3, 4 years. And if we're being honest with ourselves, it's really hard to progress as a footballer in Valencia, the Valencia of Peter Lim, because we've seen it with so many players. Even the players that have come in with a lot of promise, and then when they come in, there's so much chaos. We're changing managers every season, and every manager comes with his own style or lack of style in some cases. And you know, when you look at all of that, it's very hard for a player to progress. Carlos Soler has not really improved the way we would have liked, especially with the early promise that he showed in 16-17. And in 16-17, basically, because after that, Marcelino came and he had to play wide for 2 years under Marcelino. And then after that, he just seemed a bit lost because he wasn't playing his natural position. And now that he's back, I think that there's also a misunderstanding of Soler's profile generally, the kind of player that he is, because many people seem to think that he would be the heir to Parejo or something. In fact, people wanted Parejo gone so that he could get into that role, but he was never that kind of player. He's a more director than Parejo. He's more goal-oriented, more focused on, you know, that final third impact. But now under Gattuso, we are not seeing that. He seems to not exist in games. It's almost like 1 minute you see him, but you can't actually see the impact that he's making. He's neither good nor bad. It's almost like he's a shadow for everyone.
Yeah.
He can appear to just and when you're in a midfield and you're getting outshined by two young stars or two young players in Guillamón and Yunus. In fact, I think Nico even outshines him off the bench as well. Then it's a problem because you're supposed to be the leader in midfield. You're supposed to be the one, the presence that we need in that midfield to actually direct everything. And when you're getting outshined by Yunus and Guillamón and Nico, then I think that we have a problem. Also, what I feel like what we need in Soler's position is someone who is a bit more dynamic, someone who can thread a pass, someone more creative, with better vision and everything. I mean, Soler has vision, but we just don't see it translate in terms of execution. We don't see that. And he doesn't really have that dynamism that we need as well in that center. So it's very hard for us to create chances. And I think that the bigger problem beyond that is that, of course, Soler isn't existing in midfield. He's just there, or he's just existing rather in midfield, but he's not really doing anything. We only see him pop up when there are corner kicks to take or free kicks or there's a penalty. And then the manager doesn't take him off because I think the fact that he's the captain, he's the leader, and also because of his set piece ability, which can be key when you're chasing a game or when you're looking for a goal late in the game. It's probably why the manager doesn't take him off. And that presents a problem because then you're taking off more essential players that are giving us more just so that you don't have to take off Soler. And so it just kind of disrupts our organization. It happened at San Mamés when Yunus was taken off. To be fair, Yunus had a yellow card already, but I still felt like Soler should have gone off.
Yeah.
But Soler was right there and he wasn't contributing anything. As soon as Yunus went off and then Guillamón went off as well, we just completely lost our organization, our rhythm, and all of that. And then in this game against Atletico as well, Guillamón was taken off for Nico. Meanwhile, Soler wasn't doing anything. And then after that, we just seemed all over the place. There was no rhythm to our play anymore. And that's because of what Guillamón gives us. And there was also the point where Yunus won a free kick and he wanted to take it. I think that at that point, Yunus was in the zone. He was having a great game and he
Right,
was in the
right.
zone and felt like the kind of thing where you just, like by the force of will or something, you just make something happen.
Right.
And so Yunus seemed very confident, like, yo, let me take this free kick. And then Soler just basically told him to clear from there. And he took a very, very terrible free kick afterwards. And I was just upset, like, come on. So I think that's also part of the problem. He's the captain or vice captain. He's captain when Gaia isn't there, but vice captain is one of the leaders. And if the leader isn't really pulling his weight, isn't really contributing anything, and can't be taken off, or taking off certain duties during the game, then there is a problem because we have to now go around that and start taking off other essential pieces just so that we don't have to take him off. So I think that with him leaving, that solves that problem for us. Now we can have a more balanced midfield. Perhaps we can sign someone who actually gives us something in that center. And I think I'm a bit gutted that we don't have Tanguy Lee anymore, because I feel like this is the
Right.
perfect time that would have, really used such a player. He's a monster in the half spaces, and he's been begging to be in a possession-based side, which is what Gattuso seems to be
Right.
building for us now. And it's just sad, really.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. Yeah, you wonder if Gattuso had been here last year, what would have been different. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I think there can be a lot of criticism is warranted, at Lim, of course, and the transfer policy. But I thought this was actually a decent move in that here's a player, you have players all around the world that are deliberately winding down their contracts so that they can have total autonomy over the club they choose. This seemed to be a case with Soler. So they said to him, "Hey, here's an ultimatum. We're giving you the best contract on the team. You either sign that or we're selling you for 20 million." And I think that's the right move. And I mean, I think it's nice also that he's not going to La Liga. I think, from a player perspective, I think he probably is going to be starved of opportunities at PSG, and he would have
His
gotten.
career is basically done at this point if he goes there.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think that he it's just downhill from here because he's not really going to play a lot or at least start a lot of games. And after a while, he's just probably going to be like Julian Draxler, who has completely fallen off, the earth over the past 4 or 5 years. But also, I mean, he gets to win trophies, he gets to share a dressing room with Mbappe and Neymar and Messi, and he gets to be with Bernat as well. So there was this talk about his girlfriend. She's apparently best friends with the wife of Sergio Rico, who's at PSG. And I think she's also the niece of his agent, who only gets a commission this summer. If Soler moves next summer, apparently he's not getting a commission. So all these extra forces kind of contribute to something like that. But I kind of understand the Valencia fans that are upset with him for not sticking by the club and not being Valencianista enough and all that. But I think that they should actually be celebrating because ultimately his departure helps the club.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I also think, this might be a really nice thing for Gattuso, right? So you think about Gattuso and you think about the profile, the player that he wants there, it's probably not Soler. But Gattuso is not going to be able to, in his first season, take
Just
one of the
get rid
two
of
most
him.
popular players on the team and sort of unilaterally move him or demote him, right? And so this was I think a opportunity. Now he can bring in a player with a little bit of money that more meets the profile of the player that he wants, because he's really building something and it's cool. I mean, this is the first time since Marcelino that we've seen a coach build something. And even though all these transfers have the stink of Mendes on them, at the same time, I think the way we've performed these first three games, granted, we've only had one goal in open play, or no, we've had one goal, period, zero goals in open play. I've been so encouraged. I mean, I want to hear what your thoughts are, but this was such beautiful soccer we've played with our clearly best player sold, right? Our clearly, I mean, Guedes was unbelievable, and we haven't had Gaia. And I thought we've just been looking so great with the youngest squad in La Liga, probably one of the youngest squads in Europe.
In
So,
Europe,
yeah, really encouraged what interested to hear what you've thought of your early impression of Gattuso.
So when we were about to hire Gattuso, there was a lot of misconception about the way Gattuso plays. because people were still superimposing his playing career and how he was as a player onto like his coaching abilities. And I kept insisting that this guy is nothing like Bordalas. Like, he is nothing. Like, I've seen his Napoli team, I've seen his Milan team. And I also looked at the numbers. I said, this guy, his teams don't even foul much. And of course, they don't rely on all that aggression. They actually like to hold the ball. It's a lot of possession-based thinking, you know, for him. And I'm glad that it's starting to show. I think even in preseason, we could see signs of that already. And I think people started to get on board really fast. And I wonder how the people who said last season that Bordalas couldn't play better because he didn't have the players for it. I wonder how they feel now, because we even have Diakabi, you know, playing in a possession-based system and trying to play out of the back. We have Amandashvili doing that as well.
Mama's playing
But
so well in the back. It's that's the that was
yeah.
unbelievable to me. He hits feet every time. I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
I've been so impressed with his with his control. Really wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, exactly. And I always felt like we were capable of this, even last season when it looked like we were just bypassing the midfield and just hoofing the ball. I was really frustrated with that. And I was really overjoyed when we fired Bordalas. I know a lot of people were upset and everything. I mean, I think more on the Spanish side, because Bordalas is Valencian. So I think they felt like a connection with him, and they felt like that he felt the pain of the average fan. And I kind of get that, but he was not taking us anywhere. We got to so far in the first three games with a really young team without some of the leaders, no Gaia. Paulista played just one game. That was the Athletic game. And so we've had Diakabi, we had Tchouaméni, we've had to play with Thierry and Vasquez at left back, and then now Lato as well. And you know, many pieces still missing. And of course, our captain for the first three games has pretty much gone missing, which is Soler, because I think he already knew that he was leaving and he just didn't want to probably like get injured or something like that. And even in spite of all of that, I think that we've looked really good. In fact, I think we would probably have won the last two games if we had better wingers, because the two
If we,
Savos seem to be, yeah, if we had Guedes and maybe Brangheel, will probably have won those games, because these guys are right there and they do everything right at the start of the move, and then towards the end they make a bad decision or a bad cross or something, and that just, you know, kills the move. But I think they'll also get to grow into the team. I'm not very optimistic about their end product though, but I think that, you know, when we get Brangheel hopefully, and we start to incorporate the young stars like Fran Perez, who we saw against Atletico, then everything will start to change a bit. So, but so far so good. The impressions are good. I think that what matters now is getting that baseline, that rhythm, that establishing how we play and how we plan to play. And then with time, we will start to see tweaks and you know, other things that will greatly improve on what we already see or what we've already seen so far. Well, I'm really impressed with Gattuso's work. I love the way we're playing. I love the fact that we're brave and that we are holding on to the ball. And I mean, some of the combinations against Atletico were insane. You know, at some point I was like, is this my club? Because I've not seen this kind of stuff in a long time. Yeah, it was amazing to see.
Honestly, I can't remember the last time we dominated Atleti that way. I mean, again, we didn't get the result, but before the subs, right?
Yeah,
Even
we had
before
them
the
locked in
subs,
their half
yeah, I mean,
for
they were totally
months.
suffocated. I mean, it was different game because that was because that game we had to, we had three goals off the bat. But I mean, it reminded me a little bit
Yeah.
of that that 2014 game.
2014, yeah, 2014 game against them when Andre Gomez scored that goal, yeah.
It
And we
just,
had
I
three
mean,
goals in the first 10 minutes.
really, I just it was really fun to watch. So what are your expectations for our superstar Uruguayan Cavani coming in? What do you think? There's a lot of excitement about this. Frankly, I'm excited. I've loved Cavani for so long. He is old. And he didn't play much last year.
Yeah.
But he is a player that, has been able to, even, at an advanced age, I thought he was Man U's best player when he stepped in for them.
Yeah,
What do
it's
you think is
consistent.
realistic for what we can expect from Cavani this year?
Well, it's a bit tricky to be honest, because one thing I always say about Valencia is that we never create for our strikers, which is why I never really harsh on Valencia strikers, from Zaza to Rodrigo to the more recent guys, Maxi and Marc-André, and even Hugo Duro. I know everyone thinks that, of course, Hugo Duro is performing magic. He is, but he only scored 10 goals last season, even with like all that he was doing and all his effort and the fact that he was, such an opportunist, just sniffing out chances from everywhere. He could only score 10 goals and he didn't miss much. So, and that's the goal tally that Maxi had, or Maxi had 11 goals in his first season under Saladis. So we've never really created for our strikers. The last time we had a 30 goal season from a striker was Soldado in his final season in 12-13. That's 9 years ago. In fact, 10 years ago, 10 seasons ago. So that's going to be a problem. And as we've seen already in the first three games, we've barely created anything for our strikers. The chances that we've seen, like the Marcus André chance in San Mames, was created by him. Like, he dribbled through two, three players before he got the sight of goal. So I
Yeah.
think that's going to be a problem. But the good thing about having Cavani is that he has the best movement in football. So chances automatically pop up because of how he moves. I don't think that any of our strikers is on that level. In terms, or anywhere close to that level in terms of movement and being able to just know where to be at a particular time. I think that will greatly ease the problem of creation. But at the same time, we still do need to create. I think that if we get Brian Hill, then we can be very optimistic about what Cavani is going to give us. But most importantly, I feel that we need him to be fit enough to play a lot of games. I think that's my main problem. That's my main issue. He barely played games last year for Man U because he was always injured. Of course, the Man U fans didn't believe that. They felt like he just wanted to go to Uruguay to, have some fun and, and all that. But I just feel like his fitness has not been at that level. His first season in Manchester United was crazy. He was crazy good. And I think he's still, at that level. He's still world class. He's still someone that can give you 20, 30 goals a season if the team is set up in a way to create chances. And because of the way he moves, those chances are going to come out. So my expectations are probably a 20 goal season from him. I think I'll be overjoyed if he could score
Wow, yeah,
20
I mean,
goals a
20
season.
goals would be quite something for sure.
Be massive. Even Rodrigo at his best didn't score 20, he scored 19 in
Yeah.
that crazy season. So 20 would be fantastic. Just as long as I feel like, as long as he stays fit, he's going to score 20 goals. As long as he stays fit
Wow.
and plays maybe 30 games or 35 games. I know it's crazy to expect that from a Valencia striker, but Cavani is just so good. His quality is incredible, and he just has a way of making things happen, even without service. So I'm hoping that that happens. So that's the expectation I have in my head. But even 15 is still fair with this team and with our struggles we're creating so far. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be very happy with 15, but 20, you heard it here on the Bat Boys podcast. Sarah Broney said if he stays fit, 20 goals is what we should expect. So what do you
Yeah.
think? What are the final we you've talked about Brian Hill. What are the other pieces that you think if any, and it may be just be one more piece after Brian Hill, but that
Yeah.
Valencia should be getting this summer. I don't know how I feel about the James
Yeah,
rumors.
I think it's terrible.
Yeah,
Like, getting him is terrible because
it's just
he's not played since March.
yeah.
And He's been pretty problematic over the past 2 years. He basically went on strike once Carlo Ancelotti left Everton. He refused to play a game, and now he's trying to get his contract rescinded at Al Ryan. I think that's where he is now. And he's trying to get out of that contract. And he just joined them a year ago, and he's not played in 5 months. So I don't know what's going on with him. And he's 31 as well, and he's not been at his best for 2 years. It just feels like, and of course, he's a Mendes player as well. So it just feels like Mendes would be placing his past it player at Valencia. And that's something that I don't want at all. Because also, he just seems like such a disruptive influence. And that's not the kind of thing that we need right now in the dressing room as well. So I'd, even for all his quality, or I mean, the quality he had before he kind of fell off, I'd rather not go for a 31-year-old who hasn't played in 5 months and who seems to be really problematic and then tied to Mendes. I'd rather go for someone who at least we can say would give us something and be sure that it won't come with like a lot of baggage. So we've been linked to Lemina, Mario Lemina. I think that's a fantastic signing, but he's not going to be a Soler replacement per se. I think that our Soler replacement is actually Almeida, and Almeida who we already signed. I think that, yeah, I think what happens now is that Almeida is going to move, you know, into the advanced role, and then if we sign Lemina now plays with Guillamon or Nico, and depending on how that person wants to structure it, that's what I think happens. But I don't want that for Melo. I think that he's expensive. The salary he's going to be asking for, and it's not just worth it because we can get cheaper and get what he gives us and more. I think Lemina gives us everything Arthur gives us and more in terms of dynamism, because Lemina is very dynamic. He's very he's on his day, he's incredible. So also he comes with baggage as well. He's a bit of a crackhead in my opinion. Yeah, we also have a crackhead coach, so maybe
That's
he'll handle that a bit better. But yeah, I think Lemina for me is the best team I've seen. We've also been linked with this guy from Sporting Gijón, Pedro Diaz, I think that's his name. Yeah, Pedro Diaz. I checked him out, and he's 24 and has played 5 full seasons at Sporting as a starter. So I think that's also good in terms of experience, in terms of him coming in and not really coming with a lot of pressure on his shoulders, because I mean obviously he's coming from the second division and no one really expects that. But there's this thing that happens with players we sign from certain clubs that I've noticed. We don't seem to value them enough to give them opportunities. It's almost like we look down on them because of where they're coming from. We've seen that with Manu Vallejo, who never gets opportunities ever. We saw that at some point with Jonathan Vieira.
From Las
Trying
Palmas.
out for this guy to play, and we somehow never gave him opportunities to really show himself. We're seeing it with Uroš Rasić, who went on two loans and was actually very impressive in those loans and came back, and he just never really got continuity in the team, and you know a bunch of other players like that. So I just feel like if we sign a player from the second division, he'll probably be looked at like that. Also, there's George Saenz, who we signed from Tenerife, who was really, really good at Tenerife because I got to watch him there. I was kind of scouting Rasic. Rasic was there at the time on loan. And so I got to see Saenz, and I was like, yo, this guy is good. Like, and he was so loved there and everything. And then we signed him, and his career has been downhill since then. And he's not even made an appearance for us. And I think that also has to do with where he was signed for. So that might be a problem with signing Pedro Diaz. He'll probably be looked down upon and not really given opportunities. So I'd rather we just go for Lemina, to be honest.
Okay, great. Okay, the last two questions, Sir Bernie, as we're running out of time. These are going to be the two questions, though, that are going to keep everybody that I think is going to are going to blow everyone's minds. L penultimate question: which player emerges this year, or which player who's already emerged has a standout season that really surprises people with Valencia? Which who are you expecting huge things from? That in a way that I think is going to surprise people.
1000% Yunus Musah.
Oh, I love it.
1000% because this guy, David Gracia, was playing him as a right winger, and so that was in his natural position. So of course, he had a good first few months before Gracia's team kind of just went, in whatever direction that was. And so people started to really underrate his talent, I feel. And so he's not really been allowed to play in his natural position for last 2 years. And I kept insisting, especially last season, you need to keep playing Musa there and you need to actually use the midfield. I think Bordalas did it a few times, but he wasn't using the midfield. So it was basically pointless. And then we went and signed, what's his name now from Leipzig? The Horiba. And that was just a pointless loan, to be honest, because we had Koba for that. So now Yunus is going to be playing in his natural position. I think Gattuso absolutely loves him. I think he played the most minutes in preseason, or the second most minutes. And of course, he started the season on fire. In the first 3 games, he has pretty much been our best player, apart from maybe Mamadash, really. And he was so imposing against Atletico. Absolutely fantastic. His passing was very accurate. He won a lot of duels, and he basically just controlled the game and controlled the flow of that game for us. And he was just everywhere. And of course, let's not forget the goal, the crazy goal that he scored that unfortunately was disallowed. I think that he's going to have a fantastic season. I think Gattuso is going to play him a lot, and we're going to see him, at his best, in his best position. I'm really excited to see what he does this season. And I mean, we've seen signs of it with the US national team because he plays in his natural position there. And he always, plays well. And then he comes back to Valencia and has to play out of position again. And I think that's not even good for a developing player. So it's good that we're going to have him in his natural position now. I think that, of course, he's going to go to the World Cup, hopefully, no injuries so that he gets to do that. I think in a year, we'll probably be talking about three, four, five teams coming in with bids trying to sign him, unfortunately. But
That's
yeah,
right.
he's going to have a wonderful year, in my opinion.
So, okay, last question, and I love that answer that you picked my compatriot. Last question, where do you think Valencia is going to end up this season? What position?
Ooh, okay. That's tough. I mean, looking at our rivals, they are trash right now. I
They
think they need to
are.
fire their manager. but they always have a way of just still being in and around that European thing. I think Villarreal are really solid. They're a big rival. I think Athletic Club are really solid because of Valverde, who I love very much. And I wish he came back to Valencia at some point. So that Athletic Club are going to be a problem. Villarreal are going to be a problem. Betis are going to be a problem. Real Sociedad are going to be a problem. They have a really, really strong attack. So that's four teams that we're going to be up against in the fight for Europe. I think Atletico will be Atletico somehow. So they're probably like a step too far for the rest of us. So for the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh spot, we have maybe six teams competing. And it's going to be difficult, but I think we finish in top six.
Top six. All right,
Yeah.
sir. Bernie, I think I predicted six preseason. Tim had five, so we're all kind of
Yeah.
hovering around that same mark. I do think, seeing Sevilla struggle at the beginning of the season, I do
Yeah.
think there's a chance. There's a chance for four. Who knows? Obviously, we haven't had
Yeah.
great results so far, but I just the way we're.
And we have to bear in mind that we played Athletic Club and Atletico Madrid in the first 3 games. Very, very difficult. And we've not even found our rhythm yet. So, there's a lot more to come, especially I think our next bunch of fixtures are pretty winnable. I think we win the next five, six games, to be honest. So, I mean, from there, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if we
Yeah,
could score
top.
some goals, if we could just get that final touch,
Yeah, that's what's missing,
then I
truly.
think we should be in good shape. Okay, Sir Bernie, this
Yeah.
was a fantastic episode. It's great to have you on. We're going to try to get you on mid-season to and we'll talk about all these predictions that you made. We're going to hold your feet to the fire. Hopefully at that point, Cavani will already have had 10 goals. But this was
Yes,
super fun, and thanks for doing this.
yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun coming on.
Always fun. Okay, next week Tim will be back, everyone, and excited to talk about our 7-0 victory next week. Still not as bad as the Premier League, where teams lose 9-0.
I'm there.
All right, thanks everybody. Hope all is well.